ಜಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಹರಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕೀ ಜಯಂ ನಿತೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟೋಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹರಾಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿ ಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿ ಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿ ಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿ ಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದಲೇಶ್ವರಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿದಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮೀಜಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾದ್ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವಾಂ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋರ್ಸ್ತವ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವನ್ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಭಾವ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿತರದಸ್ ಚಾರ್ತೇಷು ಅಭಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾಟ್ ತೇನೆ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಯ ಆದಿ ಕವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂದಿಯಲ್ ಸೂರಯಂ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿ ಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತ ಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಕೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾಂ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯ ವರುಧ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿಃ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿಃ ತತ್ಕ್ಷಣಾತ್ ನಿಗಮಗಲ್ಪತರೋರ್ಗಲಿದಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾದ ಮೃದದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುತಂ ಪಿಬತ ಭಾಗವದಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಕಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಃ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋತ್ಪತ್ತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇತವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನುಮಾನ್ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಅನುಭೇದಮಪೇತಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈಪಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾತರಮಾಜ್ಜುಹಾವ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯ ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಂ ಆನತೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲಂ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಂ ಅತಿತಿತೀರ್ಷತಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಃ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಂ ಉಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತಥೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಮುಗ್ಧ ಮೂರ್ತೇ കളവീണു കൊണിതാതൃതാനനിന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേ മധുരിം കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഹരി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതീ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം ഗോപാലയേശ മനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, in the third chapter of Canto 11, we were discussing about the question from the king regarding what is Maya? What is Maya? That was the question from King Nimi. And in answer to that, Antariksha was answering that question. The word Antariksha means one who can look inwards. Antariksha, ikshana means to look. Andar means inside. So from the very name itself you can see that only one who can see inwards can actually know what is Maya. What is Maya? What is the effect of Maya? So that is what is discussed in this chapter in the beginning. Rajavacham. പരസ്യ വിഷ്ണോരീശസ്യ മായിനാമ വിമോഹിനിം മായാം വേദിതുമിച്ഛാമോ ഭഗവന്തോ ഭ്രുവന്തുനാം. ദാറ്റ് വാസ് വാട്ട് കിങ് ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൻ. കിങ് സേയ്സ് ടു ഹിം, പരസ്യ വിഷ്ണോരീശസ്യ മായിനാമ വിമോഹിനിം. വിഷ്ണുമായ ഓർ കൃഷ്ണസ് മായ ഈസ് വിച്ച് ആക്ച്വലി ബിവിൽഡേഴ്സ് എവ്രി വൺ ഇൻക്ലൂഡിംഗ് ലോർഡ് ബ്രഹ്മ. പ്ലീസ് ടെൽ മീ അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ് മായ. ഐ വുഡ് ലൈക്ക് ടു നോ ദാറ്റ് അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ് മായ. And please kindly tell us that. This is what the king has requested to the Navayogis or the nine yogis. Parasya Vishnu Rishasya Mayinam Abhi Mohinim Mayam Veditum Ichyamo Bhagavando Bhruvanduna. In answer to that, why it is spoken like this? Everything that has created in this world, the creation has come from Maya. Creation has come from Maya. And the cause of material existence for the living entity is also Maya. The cause of material existence for the living entity is also caused by Maya. So unless one know about Maya, one cannot cross over it. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Devi Hesha Gunamayi. This Gunamayi, Gunamayi means the three modes of material nature. And this Gunamayi Maya, Mama Maya, Duratyaya is very difficult to overcome. But then this Maya of Krishna that even bewilders Lord Brahma and all the other devadas as well. And that is what the king wants to know about the nature of this Maya, which is the most difficult question, because well, the very nature of Maya itself is anirvachaniyam. Anirvachaniyam means it cannot be defined. No one can say what is Maya. So you will see when the answer comes from Andariksha also, it's like that. He will give the definition of Maya in a different way, not directly. It's not a direct answer to that question. King says again, Nanu trupyeju shanyushmadvajo harikatha amradam samsara davanashtapto martyastha tapaveshajam. Samsara davanashtaptam. That means that one who is boiling in this material life, one who is completely burned in the material life, and one who is dying constantly. Martya, the word used is martya. Martya means one who is constantly dying. That is the word. The specific word martya means one who is constantly dying. Actually, we know the moment we are born, the death is also started from the same day. It's a gradual process, running towards the death, in other words. That the six kinds of changes, what happens to the material body, evenly ends up in the death. So the death is the goal at the end, when we receive the material body. Samsara tabanishtapto martyastha tabaveshajam. That tatabaveshajam. And how one can remove that distress in that life? By vajo harikatha amradam. By completely, continuously hearing about Krishna. Then King is saying to Nimi, King is saying to Andariksham or to Navayogis, that by your instructions, I am so much satisfied that I don't feel that it is sufficient for me. I'd like to hear, because I am experiencing the miseries of the material existence. On the other hand, the words what you have spoken so far, particularly Kavi Maharshi and Hari Maharshi, whatever they have spoken, and they were good enough to continuously cool me down from this burning material life. Not only that, for those who are living in this world with the fear of death, for them, what they should hear is about the Krishna stories, Vishnu Katha. It says here, Yushmadvajo Harikatha Amradam, that because it is a medicine for that disease. The disease means the fear of death. For that, to escape from that, this is the medicine. In other words, when one hears Srimad Bhagavatam, and when one is feeling that happiness or blissfulness, one should let that know to others also. It is important, because that will encourage those who speak Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. Normally in the material world we find even material information or material topics, when it's discussed, it gives happiness to so many people. On the other hand, here is a king who is actually very much absorbed in the thoughts of death and about material life, material existence, and the fearful nature of the material life. He is asking this question. For such a person, this answer from Navayogis was absolutely a big relief for his fear of material life. So you can see from that, the curiosity. That means one should be always curious to hear about Krishna. when one is not satisfied by hearing about Krishna again and again, that means it is a symptom of bhakti. Bhakti is that curiosity to hear about Krishna again from different faces, from different people, that is also a symptom of bhakti. That so in order that the devotion to develop, it is also necessary to hear about Krishna all the time. So in answer to that, Nanudrupya Jushan Yushmad Vajo Harikathamradam Samsara Davanishtapto Martyastha Tapabeshajam. That is the two verses what the king has spoken to Andariksham. Now, Andariksha is going to reply this from now on, and the way he replies this is like this. One cannot estimate the power of Maya. That is first thing. One cannot estimate the power of Maya. That is impossible, number one. Secondly, you cannot define what it is. You cannot define what it is. So, therefore, how Andariksha answers this question is, he talks from creation onwards. Two things he discusses here. One is about the creation and one is about the dissolution. That creation and dissolution. Andariksha's point is that when you hear about creation and when you hear about the dissolution, you will have a general idea of Maya. Otherwise, it is not possible to talk about Maya. And we don't know the power of Maya. As you know from Bhagavadam, in many instances, how Maya has performed her role, always in very, very special circumstances and in ways which one cannot even imagine. One cannot even imagine. That is the power of Maya. That if you look in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there, Vedavyasa Maharshi was going to write Srimad Bhagavatam. So before he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, he had gone through a difficult time in his mind. He was thinking about what went wrong in his previous composition of various Vedic literature, the Puranas, and dividing the Vedas, and wrote Mahabharatam, so many things. And Bhagavatam, it says there, how Vedavyasa Maharshi was disappointed with everything, still thinking that something is lacking in there. So it was at that time that he has thought in his mind, a thought came to him, have I done the mistake that I did not glorify enough about Krishna, about the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This thought came to his mind. But still he waited for somebody to confirm. That is how the people who look inwards, they think like that. They will not just, as soon as they think something, immediately they start jump up and start doing something about it. They will think enough about it before they go further from there. So Vedavyasa Maharshi felt that, have I not done something which has not satisfied, which was not pleasing to the Supreme Personality? It was at that time by Krishna's arrangement, Srinarada Maharshi comes there and says to Vedavyas that whole of fifth chapter discussion about the Samvadam between Narada Maharshi and Vedavyas. That is the fifth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto. Throughout that, after that, Vedavyas heard everything from Narada Muni about the importance of glorifying Krishna. And then he decided, now he wanted to write Srimad Bhagavatam. He was going to write Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was at that point, as soon as he sat in meditation to write Bhagavatam, it was at that point, immediately in front of him, he started seeing Krishna. So bhakti, devotion in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart was overflowing from his heart. He was so much affected by the thought of Krishna that he started saying, Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihido male apashyal purusham purvam mayam cha tadubashrayam. There he says that the Supreme Personality, Krishna, is standing in front of him. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihido male apashyal purusham purvam. Krishna is standing in front of him, and next to Krishna, Maya Devi, Maya Bhagavati is also standing there. Mayam cha tadubashrayam. Maya Devi, taking Krishna's shelter, she is also standing there as though as a cover for Krishna. Keeping a cover for Krishna. That is how Vedavyasa Maharshi saw Maya Bhagavati, Maya Devi. So that he has mentioned in the Bhagavadam, in the first canto itself. So this Maya Devi, because Vedavyasa, people like personalities like Vedavyas, they have that vision to see Maya Devi like that. But for those who do not understand the Maya Devi's position, for them, Antariksha Maharshi is saying here that it is not possible to explain Maya. Ebhir bhudani bhudalpa mahabhuder mahabhuja sasarjo cha vachana adhya swamatra alpa prasiddhayem. Then, first of all, Maya Devi has created the five material elements. Maya Devi has created the five material elements. So he is going to talk now about the creation process. About the creation process. He is saying here that cause of creation is Maya. That, and because the cause of creation from Maya, Mahatattvam, like that, it has come, isn't it? We discussed in the third canto how the creation process have happened. Krishna is permanently situated. Krishna is permanently situated. Absolute truth. And from him, that Krishna can create everything through the power of Maya. Power is the energy. Krishna is the, Maya is the energy of Krishna for the creation process. From there, different kinds of bodies, five material elements, the false ego, the mind, intelligence, and everything has been created from him. Therefore, Krishna is called as Bhudalma. Edir Bhudhani Bhudalma. Bhudalma. He is situated in everyone as the super soul. Mahabhudir Mahabhuja Sasarjochamachanadhyam Sumatralma Prasiddhayem. He created all this. This who? Mahabhuja. This supreme personality, strong, powerful personality, Uchavachani, different kinds of living entity. And in that creation process, his parts and parcel, the jiva, the living entity also entered into that. Now the difference is, as we saw before, the difference is that the supreme personality of Godhead is Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in the this body, unaffected by the modes of nature, unaffected by Maya. But the living entity who is present in the body is conditioned by Maya, by the three modes of material nature. How is it conditioned? Because the conditioning happens like this, that the begins with the false ego, isn't it? Ahangaram. From ahangaram, and then the mind comes out. And then these are all nothing but, it all comes from the soul. Origin is the soul. From the soul, all this creation process, all these different entities comes out. In that process comes out the mind, comes out the five material elements, and the five senses, tanmatras they are called, shabdas, parasha, rupam, rasam, gandham. The sound of different senses. And then the sense objects, they are all being created like that. So after this creation has happened, you can see that the mind gets absorbed in that. So so long as these created elements, means the mind, intelligence, senses, sense objects and all that, which are externally situated from us, particularly the sense objects, which are natural, and the mind and the senses are flowing towards in that direction, it is impossible to know the Supreme Lord, Krishna's presence. It is impossible to know. He is present inside, but when we start looking outwards from the body, when we go outside, outward looking, what we come into contact with this is this external world. So long as the connection is with the external world, it is impossible to know the presence of Krishna inside. When the same vision turns inwards towards Krishna, that becomes the spiritual life. That is spiritual life. Otherwise, it is always association with matter. And that means one who is associates with matter in a gross level, he has to experience the miseries of material life also. That is why it's said here that the purpose of the creation itself is like that. So the jiva, the conditioned soul, through its mind and senses and sense objects, it can experience the sense gratification. And also, the same senses and the sense and the mind can also deliver the jiva take it away from the sense gratification and give some the happiness of liberation as well. That is also possible. So Krishna has started this creation for this purpose. Now, out of this, the conditioned state means, the ignorant state, is in relationship with jiva, or the living entity. And jiva is considered to be part and parcel of Krishna. But the difference is, the Supreme Personality, Krishna, is not affected by the Maya. Whereas, it is affected by Maya in the jiva state. In the jiva state, it's affected. Evam srishtani bhudani pravishta panchada dhubi ekada dashatha alpanam vibhajan jushade gunan. Now, the five material elements, as you know, there are five material elements: earth, water, air, ether, and fire. How did this material elements come into existence? That we have seen in the third canto, where Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, the different ways in which the five material, the whole creation happens. Now, we have got the five tanmatras, as they are called, in the very subtle form. That means, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, and gandham. These are the five tanmatras. Similarly, earth, water, bhumi, rapanalo, vayu, kham. That means, earth, water, air, ether, and fire. That is the gross one, and this is one other one is the subtle one. Now, if you look into the creation process, you will see in the third canto, that from the akasham, from sky, comes Shabdham. Shabdham is from the sky. And from Shabdham comes Vayu. So, and Vayu comes, and then comes the Sparsham, the touch, power of touch. And Sparsham comes Agni, the fire. And from Agni comes the form, Rubam. And Rubam comes the Rubam comes the water. And from water comes the Rasam, taste. And from Rasam comes the earth. And from earth comes the smell, Gandham. So, the five Tanmatras and the five gross material elements are connected to each other. So, when the creation process starts, from one to another it comes like that. So, five material elements also comes one from another. Like I said before, from sky comes the air, from air comes the fire, fire comes the water, and from water comes the earth. And in between you have got the Sushma Tanmatra, as they are called, Shabda, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam and Gandham. So, this is the creation process. Now, when the dissolution happens, it happens in the opposite way. It happens the other way. First, the Gandham, the smells, dissolves in the earth. Then the whole earth dissolves in the taste. And the taste dissolves in the water. Water dissolves in the form. And form dissolves into Agni, fire. Agni dissolves into touch. And the whole thing dissolves into air. Air dissolves into sound. And sound dissolves into sky. Up to that point it is clear. One way from downwards while creation and upwards towards dissolution. This is how the creation and dissolution is happening. We discussed that in the third canto. So there you will notice one thing, that the the very subtle thing is this Agasham. Agasham is the first material element. So that material element, Agasham, is also called sky, isn't it? It's also called sky. Ethereal space, or come, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita. So this sky, where did this come from? That question will come, isn't it? Where did material elements have come one from the other? But where did the sky come from? Sky came from mind. Sky came from mind. Because how is it proven that the sky comes from mind? When you are awake, you feel all these things, isn't it? Once you go to sleep, the mind goes away and there is no space also. So the birth of sky happens with the birth of mind. That is the proof for that. When you are in deep sleep, you don't know about the mind. You don't know about the sky, about the space, how much space exists. So, the birth of space takes place only with the birth of mind. That is why the mind is the most difficult thing. As we said before, that from the mind, this sky was born, in other words. The sky was born from the mind. As soon as you go into deep sleep, the mind does not exist for us at that time. Because mind also gets dissolved, isn't it? In the wakened state, mind is active, senses are active, everything is active in the wakened state. But when you go into dream state, only the mind is active, the senses are not active anymore. Only the mind is active, the senses are not active. But when you go into deep sleep, even the mind gets dissolved, mind also doesn't work. What does that mean? It means that in that state, two entities, namely the time and the space, doesn't exist. Time and the space doesn't exist in the deep sleep. Because of that, we have to take it that these two things are born only with the birth of mind. When the mind is born, these two things are also born, the time and space. But because we do not take it like that, take it in that way, we give too much importance to time and space. And we start thinking time and space is very important for us. Isn't it? Without time and space, imagine the whole creation is going on time and space. Everybody wants more space, first thing. And everybody wants, this is the illusion of the Maya. This is Maya. This is how to understand Maya. You cannot understand Maya otherwise. Maya plays that role in such a fine way, that after so many generations, human society has come and gone, still we will fight for the land. Still we will fight for, knowing very well that this time and space was also born at a particular time from the mind. Only when the mind became active, or when the mind became manifested, at that point time and space also became prominent for us. Therefore in the Shastram, they don't give so much importance to this thing called the time, as we measure the time. And the time that is mentioned in the Shastram is not the time, we call it as Kalam. Kalam is not the time that we are talking about. Our time is the time from the wristwatch, isn't it? Hours and minutes and seconds and this, that and the other. That is not the time what Bhagavatam is talking about. Bhagavatam is talking about this time that has born out from our mind, which has come out from the mind and the space that was born from the mind. Everything is like that. So as we become, our vision becomes more and more subtle. As we see the finer things behind the creation, you can understand that Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us something which we do not normally take very serious note of, particularly in relationship with time and space. So time and space is only that much is important as much as it is important the vacant state. As much important as it is in the vacant state. In the vacant state, whatever you feel important, to that extent time and space is also important. But otherwise, as far as the spirit soul is concerned, the soul is concerned, that relationship is no meaning. We cannot impose the limitations of time and space on the soul. Why? Because soul is ever existing. It is eternal. So we are thinking eternal means 20,000 years, 50,000 years it lives. So how long does it live then? That question will come. It is not like that. This eternity, reference to the soul, is absolute eternity. In other words, it has no time. It didn't exist, as Krishna says. It always existed. It always existed. That is a very important point. So, evam srishtani bhudani pravishta panchadadhubi. So, just as we discussed before, that the questions what we ask, all kinds of doubts and questions what comes to the mind, is also in the vacant state, isn't it? Only in the vacant state we ask all kinds of millions of questions what we have about spiritual life or about everything else. So we think that if these questions are answered, our spiritual life is going flying then. That's how we think about it. But it is not so. That is why question answers also has its own limitations. By questioning and answering, this cannot be understood. This has to be understood by what is known as Krishna's mercy. There is no other way we can experience all these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why through this study of Maya, this is the conclusion we will come to. Now, generally, we have this understanding when we start spiritual life that we will perform some sadhana in the beginning. And for a period of time, we will execute the sadhana. And then we are thinking that how long do we have to do this? This is not coming to an end. Is it endless like this sadhana? So why is it like this? Why is that thought coming to us about sadhana in that way? There is a reason behind it. Strictly speaking, the first and foremost thing to understand in spiritual life is, it is not sadhana that is going to make your spiritual life successful. It is not the sadhana. That, unless we are clear with that, this understanding that it is only through Krishna's mercy that we will realize the truth. We will realize the truth only through Krishna's mercy. That is the established fact. Everyone will agree with that. That all the self-realized souls, at some point or another, on some point or the other, they confirm this point. It is not by our sadhana that we realize the truth. We realize the truth by Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. Only by Krishna's mercy. Kripa. Kripa is the only cause of making any progress in spiritual life. But then the question will come, why sadhana then, if it is like that? Should we not sit in one place quietly, let Krishna's Kripa come? I'll wait for that to happen. No. The reason is this. That you will do sadhana whole life, and at the end you will feel totally helpless. Totally helpless. So to come to that point, you have to do sadhana. And after executing spiritual life or performing sadhana for a very, very long period of time, you will realize and you will get rid of your false ego from inside. The ego will go. The ego will go away. So when the ego goes away, that even after performing sadhana for so long a time, I did not make any success in spiritual life. When one comes to that understanding, or comes sincerely feels that, it is possible that Krishna will show some mercy at that time. Because that is only time when his false ego will disappear.
The false ego won't go otherwise, easily. False ego is always there inside Ahankaram. Ahankaram is so powerful that we are thinking, oh, I chanted 64 rounds today, I chanted 192 rounds today, and I'll declare to everybody else how many rounds I've chanted today. This is all that ego is coming out in different. You don't have to declare to the whole world how many rounds we have chanted every day. It's not necessary. People will ask also each other, how many rounds did you chant today? How many did you chant yesterday? Janmashtami day, how many rounds did you chant? This is all that ego inside. That's what is coming out in this song. How would it help you that how somebody else has chanted how many rounds? No, it has to compare then. Compare each other. I've done 64, you've done 32, so I'm better than you. So this is the conclusion. All this is useless because this understanding, Maya's nature is such that by understanding that only by Krishna's mercy this realization will come. And Maya will play a lot of game before that in front of us. And if you try to fight Maya, you will lose. That is definite. Nobody has fought Maya and won over it. But if you say, if you pay your respects to Maya and stay out of her, and then with Krishna, once Krishna's mercy, Maya will let you go to Krishna then. Otherwise, that is why it said, Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihido mali avashyal purusham purvam mayamcha tadubashrayam. Mayamcha tadubashrayam. Maya Devi is in complete shelter of Krishna. And she has been given that responsibility there, then she has a role to play. So, evam srishtani bhudani pravishta panjadadhubi ekadha dashadhalpmanam vibhajan jushade gunan. So, in this material body, which is made of five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, and in different bodies, demigods, in the living entity, human body and all that. And in there, Andhakaranam, the subtle body, where he remains in false ego, identifying himself with that body. And then the senses of knowledge and senses of action. In like this, in different forms, it's divided in that way. And he is reflecting all over there and experiencing the material world, outside world. Through what? Through these five tanmatras, namely Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam and Gandham. This is the nature of Jiva. So, the Super Soul, Krishna, is not enjoying anything here. It doesn't need anything from the external world to enjoy. If you remember that comparison in the Upanishads, Dvasuparna Saija Sakhaya Samana Vriksham Parishasva Jade. That Samana Vriksham, in that tree, the two birds are sitting there. This is the language of the Upanishads. And all the Vedic literature is not to speak directly, to speak through these kind of examples. That like two birds sitting on a tree, it says there. One bird does not eat anything. It is just quietly sitting. It's not engaged in anything. The other bird wants to eat the fruit all the time. It tastes one fruit, finds it sweet, go and gets the next one. Like that, and that's us, Jiva. The Super Soul, Krishna, who is situated as the bird, another bird, does not want to engage in anything. So, how do we enjoy the conditioned soul, the living entity? It takes through the mind, and through the sense objects, and through the different senses, it enjoys the sense objects, and the mind feels happiness. This is the nature of Jiva. Therefore, who has created this? This is Maya's creation. So this channel for us to enjoy the material life has been material life for the conditioned soul has been provided by Maya. Now you can see the importance of Maya, that living entity, which is the soul, gets an opportunity to enjoy the material happiness or material life only through this agency called Maya. Without Maya's assistance, it is not possible for us even to enjoy material life. That is how important Maya is. That's why it is said there that it is the origin of everything. Namely, all the material elements or the material objects, sense objects and senses and the process of sense gratification through the mind. It's all a product of Maya's creation. It's all a product of Maya's creation. So Maya has the highest responsibility in keeping this material world going. Maya has got the highest responsibility in keeping the material world going. And that is her duty towards Krishna. So the jiva, the conditioned soul, is under the influence of Maya, thinks itself to be the doer, thinks itself to be the enjoyer. I am aham karta, aham bhokta. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. These two things comes to Maya, through the effect of Maya. So there itself you can see these two ropes in the three modes of nature, it binds us. It binds us and we are bound. No freedom to come out of it. That is why it is said in the next verse.
Gunair gunansa gunjanam atma pradyodidai prabhu manyamanam idam srishtam almanam ihasajjadem.
Because of this reason, that five material elements and the sense objects, they are only present. Everything what we see in the creation is nothing but this, isn't it? In different forms. The five material elements in different forms we see. What is different mixture, you can say. And because of that, because it has come from Maya, it is called as Mayamayam. Mayamayam. Vidhi Maya Manomayam, Krishna says later in the Bhagavatam. Something, everything is manasa, mind and Maya. Mind and Maya is what we are experiencing everything. The Maya creates and mind experiences. That's all. So, because it is like that, ekada dashadatmanam vibhajan jushade gunan. In the last verse it is said, that the five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, through which we are interacting with this world, isn't it? We are interacting with this world through these five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. So, if you always look at it this way, from the viewpoint of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see all what is going on in the vacant state is this. What? This interaction through the senses with the matter. Interaction through the senses with the matter. What kind of senses? The five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. Now, in the next verse it says, Gunair gunansa bunjanam atma pradyodidai prabhu manyamanam idam srishtam atmanam iha sajjade. Then, now, how the soul got that strength, ability to do this? How did the soul get the ability to do that? Because the living entity, the jiva, gets that ability from the super soul. Because it's a part and parcel of that, isn't it? It's a part and parcel of Krishna. Because just like the moon is shining, isn't it? By the reflection of the sunlight on the moon, we say like that. So similarly, the light of the jiva or the living entity is also the light from the super soul. That is what is giving that ability to enjoy to this matter through this mind and the senses. That power to do that is coming from the Krishna. So, and in that process, but only problem is when it is enjoying in that way. In the creation, Krishna is there as super soul, living entity is there as jiva, and then the mind is there, the senses are there, and sense objects are there. So with the help of the super soul or Krishna's presence in the body, because of Krishna's presence in the body, the conditioned soul gets the capacity to enjoy all these things. But in that process, it makes the biggest mistake. What happens to it? As soon as it starts enjoying, it starts identifying with it. That is what it is said there.
Gunair gunansa bunjanam atma pradyodidai prabhu manyamanam idam srishtam almanam ihasajjade.
Almanam ihasajjade. It says, I am that. What is that? He thinks that I am this body, I am this mind, I am the senses, I am the mind. All this identification has started from that. All this identification has started from that. So from here you can see that when the conditioned soul wants to associate with matter, by Krishna's arrangement it gets the ability to do so, but at the same time it gets entangled also in that way. Isn't it? It identifies with the body. Identification started like this. This is how the bodily identification started. The bodily identification started in this way. We all talk about, I am not this body, isn't it? We all say that. But to come out of that, I am not this body business, is a bit difficult. And that is why, and why so difficult it is, that is what is said in this verse. Atmanam srijate prabhu, atmanam yasajjate. As soon as it is entangled in sense gratification, it will identify with the body. It will identify with the body. So in other words, the first thing, one who is looking for realizing the soul, what is he has got to do? He has to stop sense gratification. This is why in the Shastram it is said, one should control the senses. Not for any other reason. It is not that Krishna says, Krishna has created all these things, or Maya has created all these things, and tells us that people have this argument sometimes, isn't it? Why did God create if it is not there for me to enjoy? This is their ignorance. Huh? Many, many people ask this question. You think it is all kept there for you to just look at it and watch it, or look at it. Is that why it's been created? I don't understand this, he says. People say like that. We don't understand why all this has been created, and if you can't use it, then what's for it has been created? This question will always come. People ask this question. But if you understand the subtlety of it, the subtle side of it, that the whole problem has started, that my strong desire to enjoy the senses has come from this. That as a conditioned soul, because I had that desire to enjoy, Krishna has created the mind, the senses and the sense objects and allowed me to enjoy, and with that process I started identifying with the body. Now, if one does not identify with the body, but one continues enjoying all this, uses all this in his life in this world, it's not going to harm him. But that's not possible. Inevitably, this will happen, that he will get affected by sense gratification, and therefore, vairagyam is necessary. This is the reason for it is spoken like this. That a mind which has gone outward looking, a mind which has turned outwardly looking for sense gratification, can never realize the soul. Can never realize the presence of the soul inside. It will go after that because sense gratification is unlimited. It will open new avenues and new channels to enjoy. Just like BBC started with one channel. Now how many channels? 5 channels. Now they want to increase more channels. They want special channels for this, then everything else. So like this, senses also like that. It is never satisfied with one channel and 2 channels. It wants more and more channels. And we are there ready to create more channels for the sense enjoyment. So it's the same thing that Krishna is saying here. Sorry, the Andaresha Maharshi is saying here. Gunair gunan sa bhunjanam atma pradyodidai prabhu. Then once you start gunan, vishayam, that means the sense objects. If you start bhunjanam means once you start experiencing that, or you start tasting that, idam srishtam, that means this material body, we will start identifying. Because he thinks that body is enjoying. And atmanam, and he starts thinking, I am that. Manyamana, thinking like that, he becomes attached to the material body. So, that is a very important point. Gunair gunan sa bunjanam atma pradyodidai prabhu manyamanam idam srashtam atmanam iha sajjadem. You can see one thing here, that it is the same point discussed in different ways by different sages. You can notice that. Earlier, when we talked about what happened, Kavi Maharshi, what did he say? Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padam bhujopasanam atranityam udhigna bhugde asada alpa bhaval vishwalpana yatra nivartadebhi. There he said that if one wants to get oneself free from fear, material existence, what does he has to do? Asadalpa bhaval. Asadalpa bhaval vishwalpana yatra nivartadebhi. Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padam bhujopasanam atranityam udhigna bhudhe asadalpa bhaval vishwalpana yatra nivartadebhi. That means Kavi Maharshi said there that if one wants to come out of this fear of material life, what he has to do, he has not to identify with asat. Asat means what is not truth. Asat. Sat is the truth. So asat sangam means association with matter, which means material body, one has to give up. So Kavi Maharshi said that earlier. And it's the same thing, and Andarisha Maharshi also is saying the same thing, but spoken in 2 different contexts. Strictly speaking, spiritual life is all centered around this one principle of coming out of this bodily identity. So different sages will present it to us in different ways. So let somehow or the other let it get into the head. That is the idea behind it. That's the idea behind it. Because no matter how many times we repeat it, it won't go in easily. Isn't it? Everything stays only for that moment. And after that it goes away. Just like a cloud, it vanishes. And then goes back to the body again. So because of that, repeatedly, Shastram will say the same thing. That is what you have to notice. That Shastram will say the same thing again and again and again. And that is the way Vedic literature teaches the student. That somehow or the other, we come to this understanding that the identification with the body is the cause of all this problem. So here it says, Gunair gunansa bunjanam atma pradyodidai prabhum manyamanam idam srishtam atmanam iha sajjadem. So because he experiences this identity with the body, he enjoys a sense gratification and craves for that. Because this quality of happiness experiencing, where did that come from? It came from the soul again. This thing called enjoyment. For example, when somebody is very hungry, you serve him a feast. You serve him a feast. He eats a feast. After he has eaten the feast, a kind of happiness comes to him. Where did that happiness come from? It came from the soul. It came from the soul. A kind of satisfaction in him. Because there is no other way. There is no other soul. The soul is the soul of everything. Is the soul. That is why it is so important to understand this. That from soul everything comes. It is that thing inside which is constantly energizing everything. The senses, the mind, the body, the elements, everything is coming from that. So therefore, eternity, blissful and knowledge, they are all the attributes to the soul. They are all attributes to the soul. But normally the senses on its own does not have the capacity to enjoy anything. Senses does not have the capacity. But when the senses receive that power, the electricity from the source of power, which is the soul, that is when it gets that capacity to enjoy. Therefore, so it identified with the body and it identifies with the senses in that way. This is why it is called Satya Vismriti. In the previous verses they talked about Vismriti. Vismriti means forgetfulness. Forgetfulness of one's own true identity. That has happened at that point. So, this capacity to identify with something which actually he is not, and that strong attachment towards that, it is due to lack of discrimination. Lack of discrimination. That knowledge is from the Shastram. Shastram is telling us like this, but we are unable to accept it. And this capacity to do so is called the covering potency of Maya. Maya's covering potency. So one should think like that and know about the nature of Maya. One should know the nature of Maya in that way. So from here you can see, from karyam you know the karanam. That means from the effect you know the cause. That is how you study Maya. You cannot study Maya otherwise. But from Shastram is telling us all these things, what's happening within us, and how we are entangled with the body and identified with the body, how it happened and everything. After hearing that, we should analyze it and know that this is nothing but the potency of Maya that has put us into these situations, and that is the only way you can know the nature of Maya. That is what here Andarish Maharshi is saying. Now, in the next verse, Karmani karma biskurvan sanimittani dehabral tatal karma balam grihnan brahmadiva sukhetaram. Then, if that is the case, although he is experiencing the sense objects, and will it happen that, if that is the case, a question will come now, that at the time of death he has finished his enjoyment, isn't it? At the time of death, he finishes his sense enjoyment. He is not enjoying any more senses because he is dead. He is no more capacity to enjoy. Does that mean that living entity will get liberated at that point? Isn't it? That question will come. But here the answer is, that is not true. That is not true. It's not going to happen. Because when we are engaged in sense gratification in this world, when we are engaged in sense gratification in this world, simultaneously we are creating new vasanas for the next body. Vasanas don't die away. Only you have stopped sense gratification. But the propensities that has come from that has not gone away. This is the difficulty of sense gratification. Sense gratification is such that it is not a temporary problem with the sense gratification. Just like we are enjoying something, say a cup of sweet rice, you are enjoying. Taking a cup of sweet rice is not a wrong thing. And if it is finished with that, it's okay. But doesn't get finished. After many years you will think, oh, that sweet rice I ate that day, so many years ago, the marriage day or on a festival day, I cannot forget it. The thought of that will, of sense enjoyment, will come back again into the mind. So what does it mean? It means that anything what has been done in this world, it stays within us in a very subtle form, sushma form. It will stay within us. And that means the moment you have planted a seed like that, that is another body for us, next life again. You have to take on another body from then. So as much as we enjoy this gratification of the senses, we are also creating new material bodies from then. So this is what is the difficulty. Therefore, only thing what you have to realize, this is where the karma's role comes. This body today, what we are getting in this body to enjoy, in this particular body what we get to enjoy and suffer, is not directly for what we have done in this life. It's not what we have done in this life. This is the vasanas that is, or the propensities that has come with us from previous lifetimes, and the reactions to those karma that is coming to us in different forms. But mistakenly we think that I've done everything correctly, why did it go wrong? Why am I not getting the right result? We'll ask this question all the time, isn't it? Because we see the life only in terms of the day this body was born and the day this body is dead. That is our perception of life. But Shastric perception of life is, it's a journey we have started from time immemorial, when the spirit soul started taking the material bodies. And this continuously this business is going on life after life till it finally wipes off every karma vasana from inside and eventually goes back to Krishna. So up to that point it has to go through this process. And therefore it is said, prarabdha karma, or the karma that has come to us in this particular life alone, is what we are experiencing. Not all what we are creating now. That is stored up in another memory somewhere else. And that will come in its own way, at its own time, from which we have to accept another material body again. So that is the most important thing. Then, then this, therefore, vasanas are more important than the karma itself. Karma vasana, as it is called, if you remember that in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, purely discusses about karma vasana. Karma vasana are two types, shubha vasana and ashubha vasana. Shuvasana means auspicious thoughts, auspicious things. That's why as long as the mind is absorbed in auspicious activities, then it will always elevate the soul. And as long as the mind is absorbed in ashvavasana, inauspicious things, it will degrade the life also. You have to accept the bodies in the lower species. So from there you can see the effect of vasanas, the effect of the soul body. Prarabdha karma is what is sustaining this body. Prarabdha karma sustains this body. But, and that prarabdha karma is already decided in the previous lifetimes. What is prarabdha means that karma which is matured or already ready for to be experienced. Ready to be experienced. So it is that karma that we are experiencing now. It's already been settled. That's why Shastram says already it is decided what we are going to get in this life, what we are not going to get in this life. And these vasanas, what we have generated in this lifetime, which will go into what is known as sanchitam. Sanchitam means stored up vasanas or stored up karma. that will manifest in the form of prarabdham again in another body, which will cause see, another life and another body and another set of experiences, happiness and distress. So, karma controls us in that way. This is the power of karma. That's why it is spoken like this here. Then, when this vasanas are stored in the subtle body, vasanas are stored in the subtle body. So, when the subtle body gets burned, we burn the gross body, isn't it? At the time of death, what we do? We burn the gross body and we think everything is over. But burning that subtle body is more important. It's more important than anything else. Because gross body you can burn it in matter. But subtle body you can't burn. For burning the subtle body, Bhagavatam says we need three things. What are they? Bhakti, Jnanam and Vairagyam. Bhakti, Jnanam and Vairagyam. That means devotion, knowledge and renunciation. It is through these three things that is the firewood for burning the subtle body. For burning the subtle body. It is through, this is the wood that you put through which you burn the subtle body. Otherwise, vasanas never gets burned. Continuously, we have to accept new and new material bodies. And this, when this happens, that the karma bandham or the bondage of the soul finishes at that point. The bondage of the soul finishes at that point. And this, allowing this to happen is also the power of Maya. Just like Maya has entangled us in the beginning, similarly Maya allows to release us also from here. So both are Maya's role in this. This is, strictly it is done by Maya. That's what it is said here. That, and Maya has got two names it's given. Vidya, Avidya, Surubani. Vidya and Avidya. When through sense gratification, through identification with the body and sense enjoyment, it carries on its life, you have to take it. Maya is present in us in the form of ignorance, Avidya. When we are working towards releasing from the bondage, when we are working for freeing from this freedom from the mind, freedom from the body, freedom from the senses, then you have to take it. It is actually the knowledge side of Maya that is working in us. So this is how we understand Maya. As I said before, that generally we think freedom means what? Freedom means freedom. We say we need freedom for the body, freedom for the mind, freedom for the senses. This is why we say, isn't it? And we call it as freedom. That's what everybody is shouting about freedom in this world. Everybody wants freedom. Isn't it? Freedom is what we all want. And we are celebrating the freedom also every year. On a particular day we celebrate our freedom. This is ignorance. Why? Because Shastram is saying real freedom is not that. Real freedom is freedom from the body. Not freedom of the body. Similarly, freedom from the mind. Not freedom for the mind. And similarly, freedom from the senses, not freedom for the senses. The modern education is teaching us these three things. What do they say? It says freedom for the body, freedom of the mind, freedom of the senses. But Shastram is saying freedom from all that, free from all that. That is freedom. That's how Shastra is saying. So these are all Maya's role in this world. Maya does so many wonderful things in this world, unlimitedly. And every time we are bewildered by Maya's power. Maya's power. In the Ramayanam, you will notice this also stated in a different way. When Sri Ramachandra Swamiji was going to the forest, followed by Sita Devi and behind that Lakshmana. Lakshmana was saying to Sita Devi, please move a little away so that I can see my brother in the front. Why? Maya Devi is the role of Sita Devi there. Valmiki mentions that. In the Valmiki Ramayanam, you can read that. Valmiki mentions like that. So similarly, all these, Maya's role is such that she keeps us away from the realization of the truth. Realization of the truth. And nobody can define it. But we know from experience, from Shastram is telling us, only the great sages can tell us these things. This cannot be researched or experimented in the laboratories in the world. You won't find an answer to that. Unfortunately, it is so. It only comes from the realization of the great personality, great sages. Then, itam karma gadir gachan bahu abhadravaha apuman Abhuta Samplavan Sargam Playavasnude Avashaham. Then Bahabhadravaha. Bahabhadravaha means that one which creates a lot of distress. Karmagadi, the direction of karma. And the living entity, Jiva, he becomes helpless. So, due to his pious activities and sinful activities, the happiness and distress he enjoys in this world gets birth in the demigod's body, human body, and different other species also. And he is to surrender himself to happiness and distress in different times. And how long he has to do that? Till the very end of creation, at the end of Kalpam, where the birth and death process has to continue. This is called as he is completely controlled, he has no freedom, or he is in bondage, or he is experiencing the material life. This is called the state of existence of Jiva. And in other words, we have no freedom. Just like a servant who is dependent on the master, he has to continuously accept these things. He has no freedom to come out of it. Just to come out of it. So when one realizes these things, what should one do? One should work in that direction, how to come out of it. That is the success of human life. Prabhupada was saying this, that the whole modern society's main mistake is this, that they are thinking that they can become independent because they do not know what Maya is. But one, if you take the knowledge from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then you will know that it is pointless fighting Maya. Nobody should fight Maya. And that is what all the scientists, the philosophers, and all the other great personalities in this world are doing. Like the big politicians or the big economists, all they are engaged is in fighting this Maya. Shastram is telling us, don't fight Maya, you won't win it. And it is already proven many times that more and more we fight this Maya, we get bewildered by that. Opposite results are coming. And then they have meeting to discuss about the results and then they make another plan. That also collapses. Like this one after the other. So all these things, if one does not want to get baffled or puzzled by that, then Shastram is saying, don't fight Maya. By fighting Maya, you won't win that. It is a lost battle because she is too powerful to fight with. But then if you accept this understanding that if she blesses you with knowledge and if she blesses you with proper devotion and renunciation, that alone can burn that subtle body and one can free oneself from the Maya's influence. Therefore, this is how they have talked about the creation. Now, Dadubha Ploma Sani Vyaktam Dravyaguna Almagam Anadi Nidhana Kalo Avyaktaya Pakarshadim. Now, up to this time, Antariksha Maharshi has spoken about creation process. Now, after that, he is talking about dissolution, the opposite way, what happens. Dadubha Ploma Sani Vyaktam Dravyaguna Almagam Anadi Nidhana Kalo Avyaktaya Pakarshadim. That actually he says here that dissolution is called a layam. In Shastram the word used is layam, how it dissolves one behind the other. That just like an earthen pot, it gets dissolved. As soon as you break it, it dissolves to the earth. Isn't it? It dissolves to the earth. Actually it is made of earth, but we call it by another name, isn't it? We call it by another name, a pot. We call it as a pot when it is in a pot form. But the material is the same, earth. And the same thing, when it is broken into pieces, it dissolves into earth. So it loses its form. So as I mentioned before, that all the five material elements, earth, water, air, fire and ether, systematically it goes back at the time of layam, at the time of dissolution, it goes back systematically. Just like it has come one from the another, in the same way, every one of them, it goes back to its own, from where it came from. Like, earth goes back to water, water goes back to fire. You see, this is the beauty of the Vedic philosophy, that the scientists are saying, fire and water won't mix. And we say, water has come from fire. You see, water has come from fire. According to Vedic literature, water has come from fire. And scientists are saying they cannot mix. Krishna says, I can mix them. So that is the difference. So there is no other way except to accept the authority of Shastram. If you want to experiment everything, that will not work. Because we ourselves, in our conditioned state, this knowledge from the Vedic literature has to be accepted as it is. Otherwise, it will cause us problem to us. If you want to our nature is that everything should be subjected to our eyes, and I have to be convinced. First, the eye has to get convinced. Then we will get convinced. First, so this eye is just like a camera standing there everywhere. So the camera has to take the photograph and convince us. Only then we will accept it. But Shastram is saying, no, it's not like that. It will tell you the process. Krishna is giving us the process. It is throughout in the Bhagavadam. In the third canto also, Kavila Vasudeva says this to Devahuti Devi. We'll come to that later. So you will notice everywhere that the process of creation and process of dissolution, layam, is spoken. There may be differences to some degree mentioned in different Puranas in a different way. But generally the process is the same. The process is the same. But having known all that thing, what's good at the end if we are not searching after the truth? If you are not looking for self-realization, what's the point? So that's why it is said here that this world, which is gross manifestation, which is in front of us, is seen by all of us. But we cannot see that thing which is behind it, from where everything has come, the material nature, prakriti or mahatattvam. We cannot see that. That transformation has happened like this in steps, in stages. But only what we are seeing is the final stage. And seeing the final stage, we are trying to experiment and find out. But the thing is like this, that this process of creation and dissolution is not subject to experiments and to prove like that. Rather, we are only come to this world at the last stage, isn't it? The last stage, when everything is manifested, suddenly we appeared here. And then we say, oh, I want to know everything about the truth, from where it came from. Shastra is telling us, this is how you got in here. But we won't accept that. We want to do our silly little experiments here to prove everything what we have doing is right. This is our obstinacy. So, from this we have to understand that the material body is also subject to death and layam. Layam means it will dissolve one day. And the only problem is that everything has got is subjected to death at the end. Because the body is also made of material elements, and the creation is also material elements, they all have to dissolve each other. Like when the body dies, what happens? The five elements goes in five directions, isn't it? Water dissolves into water, earth dissolves into earth. That is how this material body goes away from this world. It goes and joins its own element. And each of those elements, at the time of dissolution, again gets destroyed by dissolving one into the other. So, like this, why it is spoken? To know that it is the same way the whole creation is, including the heavenly planets. That's what is mentioned in the next verses. Shadavarsha hyanavrishti bhavishyatulbana abhuvi tadkalobhajido ushnarko lokam strin pradavishyadim. When the shatavarshas anavrishti bhavishyat ulbana bhuvi tadkalobhajido ushna arko lokam strin pradavishyadim. Tadkalobhajido ushna arka, that at the time of dissolution what happens is spoken. That many hundreds of years there won't be rain, and in the earthly planet unbearable heat will develop from the sun, and it will start burning the whole creation. And that's what happens at the time when the five material elements has to leave, when they have to get destroyed. And according to today, we have a more or less controlled temperature in this creation, in this world, isn't it? The heat and cold is very much controlled in this body, very much controlled in this world. And because of that, we are able to live here. The moment the temperature changes here, we are finished. Isn't it? Where is our existence here? From there we can understand that there is another intelligence behind it which sustains or maintains these temperature conditions here, whereby we can live, maintain this particular material body in a particular state, in a healthy state. Healthy state means it can survive, in other words. the moment that adjustment changes behind it, the material body cannot survive. See how fine control it is from the superior arrangement, Krishna's arrangement. So, but at the time of dissolution, all Krishna has to do is to make it unbalanced a little bit. As soon as it becomes unbalanced, we become helpless, our bodies all go into get to dissolution, and the material element starts getting destroyed. And all the three planetary systems, will disappear. And it starts from Padalam, the lower planetary systems. Padala dalamarabhya sankrashana mukhanala dahan urdushikho vishwakvardhade vayunerida. So at that point in time, the Padala lokam and Bhulokam, Padala lokam, everything will be heated up by the heat from the sun planet. Adisheshan, that means sankrashana mukhi balanam, and from his face, the poisonous fire comes out from there, and the air mixed with that, it the fire grows, and the result is that it starts burning the whole creation, and it starts going up and further up. In that process, from the top the sun burns, and from the bottom Adishesha's poisonous fire that comes from his mouth that burns, and eventually it finishes. Samvartago meghano varshadisma shatam samaha dharavir hastiyasthavir liyade salile virad. Therefore, hundreds of years in this process, when this earthly planet is burning, at the same time, we will have heavy rain after that. Just like it says here, dharavir hastiyasthavir liyade salile virad, just like the trunk of an elephant, that will be the kind of rain that will come. And hundreds of years, the water will fill in this planet. At that time, everything goes into the water stage. So by now, the earth has now completely gone. Earth doesn't exist. Earth gas now dissolved into water. That is the stage now. Tado virajamulsrajya vairaja purusho nrupaha avyaktam shave sushmam nirindhana ivanalam. Then. So everything, this Brahmandam or this universe, what we are perceiving today through our gross senses, this Brahmandam does not exist at that point because it is all dissolved in water. And it goes on in that way, and then eventually it goes into that state that eventually even Lord Brahma, who is in the Satyalokam, he also merges into that. That is at the end of the dissolution. And by now, Brahma, who is very qualified, he has completion, he has matured in his knowledge, and he gets his liberation from that point. And that is Brahma's liberation. Tato virajamulsrajya vairaja purusho nrupa avyaktam shade sushmam nirindhana ivanalam. Then, fire, when the fire is burning, it requires a medium, isn't it? Just like firewood. Through firewood it burns. Then when that wood is completely burned, then Agni, fire has no form anymore. Fire takes a form. When it burns through a wood, it takes the form of the wood. When it burns through something else, it takes that form. Similarly, Upadhi means the medium through which it has happened, is only existing now. So Brahma's in the creation, Brahmandam is called as Virad, and Brahma is called as Viraja Purusha. In that way, the whole Sthula Logam, the gross world, comes to an end. Vayuna Hridagandhavu Salilatvaya Galpade Salilam Tadhradarasam Jyotishtvayoba Galpade. Now, in this way, the created world, how it dissolves, that has been explained. Now, from Mahatattvam to Prithvi, why this was all spoken was in order to tell us that one who has got identification with the body, that one has to give up. Because if these things are known, then you would not be too attached to the body, isn't it? Why are we to attach the body? Because thinking that this body is ours and this body is mine, this body is ours or this body is mine and I am this body. These are the two conceptions. One thing is, I am this body. Second is, this body is mine. But once you know that it is made of these five material elements, and this is the process how it gets dissolved at the end, then why one should identify with that? That is what Bhagavatam is asking. That in order to get this identification with the soul, to one who has, do not have that, in order to bring that understanding to him, all this was spoken. As long as one understands the cause and effect, accordingly his intelligence will also be very subtle. He'll be able to see things in a much more subtle level. So, the way it was spoken was from how the step by step, how the creation happened, and how in an opposite way, the everything got destroyed or dissolved at the end. The bhumi or earth was the last thing that was created. And the smell is the quality of earth. That we know. When you have a hot summer, and after that suddenly a rain comes, what happens? Once the rain comes, you can see that the earth smells, isn't it? That smell is the nature of the earth. That is the sushma amsham of the earth. That these special qualities are there for every gross element. Every gross element has this special quality. We'll talk about it when we talk about the five material elements later in the 24 spiritual masters. You see, in the 24 spiritual masters, the five of them are these five material elements. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. Dattatreya Maharshi talks about that, what he learned from these five material elements. That will come in the next few chapters later. So at that time we will see what happens. What is there to learn from these five material elements? Material element has this gross form and the subtle form. Bhumi or earth has got its gross body, which we manifested and see as in front of us. And this gandham or the smell is the subtle element of the gross body. Just like when we smell a flower, where does the flower get its smell from? It comes from earth. It is that subtle element of earth that comes through the flower to us. More predominant power of the earth is manifesting through that flower. That's why it is spoken like this. Similarly, air takes away the smell, isn't it? Air takes away the smell. So the sparsham or touching is the nature of air. It's the subtle aspect of the air. So here you have seen that all the five material elements you have to see in the same way. At the end of devastation, what will happen is there will be strong winds. And what does the wind do? The wind takes away all the smell away. And when that smell is taken away, earth goes away. Only the water is seen. Therefore, the earth dissolves into water. And later on what happens is, after it has taken away the smell of earth, once you have taken the smell from the earth, earth doesn't exist anymore. Then it starts its activities on the water. So at the end, the water loses its taste, because taste is attached to water. At the end, water also does not exist, and then the heat exists, and that is fire. So like this, when the Maya, material nature, wants to withdraw the material elements back into its own original state, what it does is, it takes away all its subtle elements. If you withdraw the smell, the earth disappears. If you withdraw the taste, the water disappears. If you withdraw the form of anything, that it's a very subtle thing to understand what this form means. That, as I mentioned, fire takes a form according to the medium it which flows through. So form is, in another words, the nature of fire. The fire can only exist when there is a particular form. Whatever form it is, the fire exists only due to the form. So the power potency, the form is taken away, the fire disappears. Similarly, the power of touch is taken away, air disappears. Similarly, when the sound is taken away, the sky disappears. The sky also disappears. And all these things has come from where? From the mind. So subtle is this creation that our gross mind cannot even comprehend that properly. even cannot comprehend it properly, isn't it? Because we are used to seeing everything in the test tube. Only if you see in the test tube, for us it is the truth. If you don't see it in the test tube, it's not truth. But sages, without any test tube, they are telling us these things. This is how the creation... So where did they get that from? Where did they get this knowledge from? That is the difference between Vedic knowledge and the scientific knowledge. Scientific knowledge is test tube knowledge. Vedic knowledge is knowledge derived from the from realizations. So, Shastram is pointing out these things, that in the process of creation, this is how it happens. How it gets dissolved one after the other.
Hridarubam dutamasa vayav jyodi praliyade hridasparshovakashena vayur nabhasiliyade kala alpana hridagunam nabha alpaniliyade.
So, hridam rubam dutamasa vayav jyodi praliyade. So, therefore, hridam hridarubam dutamasa vayav jyodi praliyade. Vayu, or in other words, air, it gets dissolved in fire. Vayu jyodi praliyade. Then, hridasparsho avakashena vayur nabhasiliyade. Vayu, air dissolves into sky, it says. Air dissolves into sky. Kala alpana hridagunam nabha alpaniliyade. Kala sarupam, that is Krishna, who is the Kala sarupam. Kala alpana hridagunam. That the sound also, which is also come with its quality as the sky, eventually dissolves into tamasahangaram. Almani liyade, tamasahangaram it dissolves into. This is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita also. How satyahangaram, rajasahangaram, tamasahangaram. Three things are there mentioned before. So senses have come and then the mind has come and satyahangaram. And here, what is happening here is that In the devastation time, the sky is covered with the clouds and whole thing is covered with darkness. Therefore, ultimately you can see the fire and its light also goes away and it dissolves into vayu or air. Therefore, agni is dissolved into vayu. It is spoken like that. Shabdham, the last one, the sound, it gets destroyed by the time. It gets destroyed by time. When we say time, as I mentioned before, that the kalam is Krishna's, what we call as kalam. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is translated like this, isn't it? Time, I am destroyer of all. It is mentioned there, isn't it? Time. Actually, that time, what is referred to in kalam, is slightly different. Huh? When we say time to anyone, each other, if we say one unto another, it's 10 o'clock now. That's how we call time. But this time what is referred to here is that time from where the creation has happened. That is that the destroyer of all, what Bhagavad Gita says. Because there is no other word in English referring to that time, what is spoken in the Vedic terminology. That is where the difficulty is. So often we start thinking when we read it, how can the time destroy everything? Sometimes you think, oh, maybe after many, many years it's not like that. The shabdam, the sound, originally, the sound started from the kalam, from the time. And Shabda Brahmam, it is referred to, isn't it? So that Shabdam, it goes back into the time again, from where it started the vibrations of the sound. It comes from there, it will go back to that. So imagine that sound creation, when it must have happened. That. So, like this you can take it, that all the five material elements disappears. And in all this, tamasa hangaram, that means the false ego which has come from the mode of ignorance. That is called tamasa hangaram. That tamasa hangaram is very prominent in all these things. And this, the sky eventually dissolves into this tamasa hangaram. Tamasa hangaram means the false ego born out of ignorance. Born out of ignorance. In this tamasa hangaram, all this, that is why it is said, when we discussed Bhagavad Gita, we talked about this. Five material elements have come from the false ego, in the mode of ignorance, it said. Isn't it? In the mode of ignorance. Five material elements have come from the mode of ignorance. Five senses have come from the mode of passion. And the mind has come from the mode of goodness. If you remember, in Bhagavad Gita, we discussed this. So, the hangaram false ego, that takes these three forms, goodness, passion and ignorance. And from each one of them comes out these three things. From goodness comes the mind, from passion comes the senses, and ignorance comes the material elements. That is what is spoken here. So, indriyani manobuddhi sahavaiga arige irunirva pravishandi ahangaram sagunai ahamalmani. Indriyani manobuddhi sahavaiga arige irunirva. A whole thing is so subtle, this whole explanation of all this creation process. Therefore, sometimes when you hear that, you also don't find it very interesting. You're not able to. But if you study this, it will also fix our mind that the process of creation is also a very subtle thing. It's not a very gross thing. Sometimes people say, oh, how did God create all these things? How did He create? And when then we have the answer that did He manufacture in a factory, or did He do it in a, who was the engineer behind it, the creation, things like that. But when you know the subtle side of the creation, then everything is possible, isn't it? Everything is possible. Srimad Bhagavatam does not give too much importance to these things. It will only tell you to quench our thirst to know where it has all originated from. So if you know the subtleties of these things, subtle aspect of this creation, then our questioning will stop there. We don't want to know any more about it. Because it's explained here how each one of them comes out, each one of them goes back in the creation process. So here, it says here, Indriyani manobuddhi saha vaigarike nirpa pravishyanti ahangaram sugunai ahamalmani. Senses, intelligence, that goes back into rajasahangaram, the false ego in the mode of passion. And the mind goes into satya hangaram along with the demigods. It goes into satya hangaram. Tamasam, rajasam and satvigam, these three kinds of false egos is caused by the three modes of nature, sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam. So they causes the three kinds of false ego as well. They causes the three kinds of false ego as well. All this is, as I mentioned many times, that unless we understand that the subtle way the soul works inside and the different elements inside ourselves, if you, when you start looking at all these things, automatically our thoughts will go inwards. We won't be engaged too much in inquiring about outside. The modern world, the problem is this, that we are inquiring and searching in this creation everything, isn't it? We are trying to search for everything and answer for the whole creation outside. That's where we are, our search is at the moment, the scientific process. But Vedic philosophy is that it tells you the process and it starts going inwards. It turns our vision inwards. It makes us to think, look inwards. And it says here, Satya Hangaram, Rajasa Hangaram, Tamasa Hangaram, the three kinds of false ego. They have come from three modes of nature, Satvigam, Rajasam and Tamasam. Where did the Ahangaram comes? Ahangaram, you can see, when does the Ahangaram comes? Ahangaram comes when you wake up in the morning itself, Ahangaram comes. The false ego comes. From there, all these things have come out at different stages. So, this Ahangaram, when did Ahangaram happens in the creation? For us, the Ahangaram happens every morning when we wake up, isn't it? With our false ego. But there is another false ego which started from the Mahatattvam, from the original entity. When creation started, that creation has happened because of the original false ego, which is known as the which has come from Mahatattvam, the original Ahangaram. And it is that Ahangaram, Mahatattvam, eventually what is known as the balancing of the three modes of nature, Samyavastha. The three modes of nature is two states. One is called Samyavastha and the other one is called Vishamavastha. Samyavastha means when they are properly balanced by Krishna's arrangement, when the material nature is properly balanced, then everything stops, no creation. When does creation happen? When it comes to Vishamavastha. Vishamavastha means out of these three modes of nature, if any unbalance happens, immediately creation starts from there. And also, you can see, it is dependent on the three modes of nature, all the four yugas also. Kritayugam, Trayayugam, Dwabarayugam, Kaliyugam. Four yugas are there. What does this four yuga mean? It is nothing but the unbalanced nature of the three modes of nature. When the Sattagunam is predominant and Sattagunam is powerful, it is Kritayugam. Even it, today it can happen if Sattagunam becomes prominent. Whereas when the Rajogunam is prominent and Sattagunam is weaker, at that time it becomes Tretayugam. And Rajogunam is prominent, and not much of Sattogunam, but a lot of Samogunam, but Rajogunam is still prominent, and that is Dwaparayugam. And when Tamogunam is, and Rajogunam is prominent, Tamogunam is also prominent, or in other words, Tamogunam is more prominent, that's Kaliyugam. So these three modes of nature's balance and unbalance, what is going on in Mahatattvam or Prakriti, is the cause of everything. Everything means including the time in this world, what we call as the yugas, four yugas. That's also come from the, and that is called the Vishamavastha. Vishamavastha means this unbalanced state of the three modes of nature. That's why Rajasahangaram, from there the senses and intelligence. Satvyahangaram, the mind and the demigods, they all go into. And Tamasahangaram means the the sound and the, namely the elements, everything goes into that. Then, Esha Amaya Bhagavata Sargastiti Andagarini Trivarna Varnida Asmabhi Kim Huya Shrodamichasi. That is the last comment from Andarisha Maharshi. Andarisha Maharshi is saying, Esha Amaya Bhagavata Sargastiti Andagarini Trivarna Varnida Asmabhi Kim Huya Shrodamichasi. Srishti, creation, sthiti, maintenance, and samharam, which means dissolution, cause of all these things is Trivarna. Trivarna. Maya is addressed here as Trivarna. Trivarna means there's three colors, isn't it? By which it is designated. Like the white color for goodness, the red color for passion, and black color for ignorance. So, these three colors through which it is designated. Sattvam, Rajas, and Tamas. Esha Maya Bhagavadam. Krishna's Maya is like that. It says here, Trivarna Varnida Asmabhi. I have explained to you my capacity, what I understand about Maya. And if you have Kim Bhuya Shrodham Ichasi, do you want to hear anything more about Maya? He's asking this question to the king. To the king, he is asking this question. That, do you want to hear any more about Maya? That is what the question is. So, after so many verses, Andarisha Maharshi said this to whom? To King Nimi. Nimi has got some idea about Maya now. Some idea. It's not very explicitly understood, but Nimi understands now that Maya cannot be understood easily. Maya's nature cannot be spoken, but from the effect of Maya, namely creation and dissolution, one can more or less get an idea what Maya is like. What Maya is like. That's why it is said like that. Avrityatvat swarupam kshirijala marudat atmana vikshibandi. That is how it said. Avrityatvat swarupam. This Krishna swarupam. Krishna's swarupam. Why we don't see Krishna today? Because of Maya. Maya's presence. That is why we don't see Krishna. Avrityatvat swarupam. Covering Krishna with this veil or this cover. Who is doing that? Kshiti jala marudad almana vikshibandi. Kshiti jala marudam means the five material elements. How does she cover us? Cover us from Krishna through these five material elements. Then what happens? Jeevan bhuishta karma vali vivashagadim. When it is covered like that, from our vision is covered, or when we are not perceiving or experiencing Krishna, what do we do? Jeevan bhuishta karma vali vivashagadim. The conditioned soul, it starts its work. Work, 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 work. And continuously working to become happy in the world of matter. Jeevan bhuishta karmavali. Bhuishta karmavali means continuous process of executing karma. For what? To become happy. But what happens? Dukkha jale kshipandi. He falls into distress at the end. So by working hard, to think that one will become happy in this world is also Maya. That is the lesson to learn. This is Maya's. Maya is so powerful that it is able to teach us this lesson, indirectly saying to us, you keep on working in this world thinking that you will become happy one day, then it is not going to happen. Avrityatvat swarupam. Because unless this cover goes away between us and Krishna, which is Maya standing there, it is a cover which you cannot see, but it exists. ആ ആവൃത്യത്വസ്വരൂപം ക്ഷിതിജലമരുത ആത്മനാ വിക്ഷിപന്തി. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് കവറിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ. ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്, ദ സോൾ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഏബിൾ ടു സീ പ്രോപ്പർലി. ജീവൻ ഭൂയിഷ്ടകർമാവലി വിവശഗതിം. ഇറ്റ് വിൽ എൻഗേജസ് ഇൻ കണ്ടിന്യൂസ് സീരീസ് ഓഫ് ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ദുഃഖ കർമ്മ വിവശഗതിം, ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഇറ്റ് ഗെറ്റ്സ് ടയർഡ് അറ്റ് ദി എൻഡ്. ദുഃഖജാലേ ക്ഷിപന്തി, and it falls into further distress, because by executing more and more karmam or entanglement with karmam, it cannot liberate a person. That is a well known fact. All shastram will vouch for that. Simply by working hard, you are not going to get liberated. Working hard is not the answer for liberation. The answer for liberation is to understand this. Jeevan bhuishta karmavali. Karmavali means a continuous parambara of karmam, a complete succession of karmam, what one execute life after life. Can anyone free oneself from bondage? That is what they are asking. Jeevan bhuishta karmavali vivashagadim. Then after executing karma for so long a period, all what has happened is he has got more and more entangled in that, unable to come out of that. Dukha jale kshipandi. സിദ്ധയോഗി പ്രബുദ്ധം. സോ ഇൻ ദി നെക്സ്റ്റ് പാർട്ട് ഓഫ് ദറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഇസ് സേസ് ത്വന്മായാമാഭിമൂന്മാമൈ ഭുവനപദേ. ദാറ്റ് യുവർ മായ ഈസ് സച്ച് എ പവർഫുൾ തിങ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ഏബിൾ ടു ഡു സച്ച് എ തിങ് that able to keep us away from Krishna so nicely. When we say we are not able to see Krishna, means what? It means we are not self-realizing the self. That is what basically, because soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. Once you have realized that, our relationship with Krishna is also established with that. It is already established with that. But when discovery is there, identification with the soul is completely gone, and identification with the body is incomplete in all aspects. That's what it is. Tanmayama bhimunmamai bhuvanapade kalpade tval prashande. So, in order to break this veil of maya, what has been put forward, there is only one way of doing that. And that is the question, the next question, what the king has raised to the Navayogis, to these nine sages. If you look into the next question, you will see. Up to this, the first question was, what is Bhagavata Dharmam, Kavi Maharshi? Second question was, what is the symptoms of a devotee, Hari Maharshi? Third question was, what is Maya, Andriksha Maharshi? Fourth question is, how to cross over Maya, Prabuddha. Prabuddha is answering that fourth question. So you can see there, ത്വന്മായാമാഭിമൂന്മാമൈ ഭുവനപദേ കൽപദേ ത്വൽപ്രശാന്തേ ത്വൽപാദേ ഭക്തിരേവേത്യവദദൈവിഭോ സിദ്ധയോഗി പ്രബുദ്ധഃ. പ്രബുദ്ധ മഹർഷി, പ്രബുദ്ധ, ദ വേർഡ് ഇറ്റ് സെൽഫ് ഈസ് വെരി ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ്. ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ഐ മെൻഷൻ ബിഫോർ, അന്തരീക്ഷ മീൻസ് വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് ലുക്കിംഗ് ഇൻവേർഡ്സ്. സിമിലർലി പ്രബുദ്ധ മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ഹാസ് വോക്കൺ അപ്പ് ഫ്രം ദിസ് മായ, വൺ ഹു ഹാസ് woken up from Maya. He is called Prabuddha. Prabuddha means one who is able to wake up from Maya. So you can see the names also is actually identifies with the answer what he gives. Vedavyasa Maharshi has given these names for whatever reasons. He has given that. We have to understand that there is some relationship with his answer to these questions and him and the personality. These nine sages, when we call somebody a particular name, we identify with him with that particular body, isn't it? For example, somebody who has got name Peter in this life, he can be Paul in the next life, isn't it? Or some other person in another life. So this name what we give in this material world is only referred to that particular form, what he has got here today. Another time he can have another body and he can get another name, isn't it? Or some other name anywhere else. So that way name changes, because every time when we give this name to a particular person, you have to think this, that it's only referring to that body or for the passport or whatever that is. It's all worth about, nothing more than that. It is not a spiritual name that he has taken like that. But it is not. But in the name of these nine sages who had come, Kavi, Hari, Andariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayanan, Avirhotra, Drumilan, Chamasa, Karabhajana, all these nine sages, the nine names were given to them by Vedavyasa Maharshi, depending on the discussions in this, what role they are playing. What role they are playing. So this question came, fourth question, how to cross over Maya. That was the question which King Mimi has asked now to this sage. And the answer has come from Prabuddha. Prabuddha has answered that question, which is a very interesting question also. In the question itself is so interesting. If you read it, Sri Rajavacha. In the previous verse, Esha Maya Bhagavada, that is verse 16, Esha Maya Bhagavada Sargasthitya Andhakarini Trivarna Varnida Asmabhi Kim Bhuya Shrodhamichasi. Do you want to hear anything more? This is what he asked. But when he heard about this Maya's nature, the king got a little bit perplexed and got frightened that Navayogis, the nine sages, understood that. And they are, at that point, their mood was, don't get frightened about Maya. There is a way of getting out of this Maya. And if you want to ask that question, you can ask that. Then, Rajogunam is the cause of creation. Sattugunam is the cause of maintenance. And Tamogunam is the cause of destruction. Because in the unbalanced state of these three modes of nature, all these three things will go on. Creation, sustenance and dissolution. In the unbalanced state, all these things will go on. Whereas in the balanced state, it will stay quiet. Nothing will happen. So when the complexity of Maya, King Nimi was intelligent enough to think, realize that it is not a simple thing, this Maya, to cross over. Exactly what Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita also. Devi kyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. We are thinking Maya is such a simple thing. After Maya can't touch me, I am a devotee. We are thinking like that, aren't we? We are all thinking, oh, what Maya for us? I am such an initiated devotee now. So I should be someone. There is no question of touching Maya. This is our mood. If you understand Maya from Bhagavadam, there is no question that Maya is such a powerful thing that I think in one instance, Prabhupada has said this also in another way. He said that when you don't know something, then you don't know what it is, isn't it? When you don't know anything about the power of Maya, then you won't know anything about it. Then you can say anything you want, that you are liberated even, you can say. But who is going to care? By the end, that's why it happens to all the big personalities also. Sometimes they think they are liberated. In the Brahmastuti you will see this. In Brahma's prayers to Krishna, if you remember, Jnane prayasam udabhasya namandam eva. That with a lot of struggle, jnanis have studied and hard, they have studied very well. And with their power of knowledge and sharpness of the mind and intellect, they have somehow managed to realize. Very next moment Maya puts them down. Jnane prayasam udabhasya namandam eva jivan vilosan mukhiridam bhavadiya vartham. That unless there is Krishna consciousness in a person, no matter how much knowledge and spiritual knowledge or scriptural knowledge one has, he is subjected to Maya. So that is why it is said, only by Krishna's mercy alone one can come out of this Maya, not otherwise. That is why it said, Avrityatvat sarubam kshidijala marudat atmana vikshibandi jivan bhuyishtakarma valivivashagadim dukkajale kshibandi. Tonmaya mabhimun mamai bhuvanabade kalpade tulprasade tulpade bhakti revetyavada daivibo siddhayogi prabuddha. The Prabuddha Maharshi says to King Nimi at that time that if you want to cross over Maya, there is only one process, that is bhakti, Krishna consciousness in other words. That's the only process through which you can get over Maya, not otherwise. Not, there is no other process by which you can get over Maya, only through bhakti. Tulpade bhakti revetya vadadai vibho. Bhakti to whom? Bhakti to whom? To Krishna's lotus feet. To Krishna's lotus feet, when one has developed pure devotion to him, at that time he can cross over Maya. That was the answer of Prabuddha Maharshi in the next answer, in the next question and the answer. So here, from this, you can understand one thing, that Maya is not something which is easily understood, number one. It is no question of understanding, not only that, how she can trap us under the modes of, how strongly and powerful she is in controlling us is also spoken here by hearing from Andarisha's lecture to King Nimi. Now, Rajavaja, what the king says,
Athaidam Aishwarim Mayam Dustaram Akadalmabhi Tarandyanjaja Tarandyanja Suladhiyo Maharsham Idamuchyadam.
That's very good. So, Rajavaja, king is saying, Athaidam Aishwarim Mayam. Aishwarim Maya, that means Ishwara's Maya, Krishna's Maya, in other words.
Athaidam Aishwarim Mayam Dustaram Agradalmabhim. Dustaram Agradalmabhim.
Dustaram. Dustaram means one which he cannot cross over. Agradalmabhim. By those who have no control on their senses, who have no sense control. For them, impossible to cross over Maya. So, I have explained before why sense control is important, isn't it? Why sense control is important. And now, again, king is saying, king has recognized that sense control is important. So he's saying here, Dustaram Agradalpabhi, those who cannot control their senses, for them it is difficult, impossible for them to cross over. Then what else?
Tarandyajam.
How can they cross over easily? This is what he is asking. He wants to cross over Maya very easily, the king is saying. And because he is saying, Stula Dhyaha, my brain is Stulam. Stulam means, it's a very interesting word, this Stula Dhyaha. We are all in this category, Stula Dhyaha. Stula Dhyaha means, no matter how many times it's spoken, it won't click inside. This is Stula Dhyaha. I'll give you some examples for that. So it is easier to come through to this understanding, Stula Dhyaha. We will we'll say so many things in the Shastram in order to explain this Stula Dhyaha. Stula Dhyaha, we all belong to that category, Stula Dhyaha. Stula means very, very, very gross in thinking and very gross in understanding things. Sometimes, millions of times spoken, it will not go in. It will go, and if it goes in, it will go in the wrong way also. That is the worst part of it. That is the worst part of it. I'll give you one example. Once a person, he was getting drunk all the time. They tried everything with him. AA and this, that, everything they tried. Nothing was working. He was more or less finished. Alcohol has gone in so much into his system that he couldn't stop control of alcohol. So eventually all his friends who wanted to help him because they felt sorry for him, they decided to take him to a doctor, and who was known for a specialist in this field, who was able to help people to come out of their problem with the alcohol. So they took him to him, and he said to the doctor did was, he thought, this person is very scientific minded, so let me teach him through science, he said. So he got two bottles of two large glasses. In one glass he kept water, and in another glass he kept very strong alcohol. And he brought some worms and he put them in this glass of water. So the worms started waggling there in the water, this way, that way. So this man started looking at it and started thinking, oh, they are surviving. Like that. He took that worm from there, the doctor, and put it in the alcohol. All of them straight away died with the power of that. Alcohol was a powerful alcohol. It burned virtually into burn. So this person is saying to the doctor, I know the remedy now, he says. I got a lot of worms in my stomach. If I take every day one pint, everything will get cleaned up. This is called Stula Dhyaha. Best example for Stula Dhyaha. This is how he has understood. You see? So, we are all in this category. Stuladhi. Stuladhi means, whenever anything from Shastram is spoken, we will not catch it in the right way, first thing. And if we catch something, it will all be in the wrong way also. So many examples for this in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So many examples. That there are, I don't know how many examples you can give in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, how people have misunderstood so many things. And they have given their own interpretation to that. And they will, you won't believe that they, they have gone up to the extent of proving so many things with bets and offerings in such a way that they want spiritual topics to be proven by Shastram and Sadhu, Guru and all that through different processes. This is not something you can subject to experiment. Shastram is not subject to experiment. It won't work. And it is not, people have this false understanding that if I quote a verse from one Puranam, that I won the this business. It's not like that. It's not what you quote from what Puranam you quote, what Shastram is quote. Have you realized what you are talking about? Otherwise, all these quotations have also no meaning to anybody. Isn't it? So, when we are quoting something from a Shastram, or when we are bringing something to present it to somebody, because this some people are very expert, they'll say 11, 19, 23 or 10, 18, 47, the verse number. It says like this, so it must be correct what I am saying. That is not how we understand Shastram. Shastram is understood in a different way. The way of understanding Shastram is that this Stuladhi has to go first. Stuladhiya. Stuladhi, once it goes, then you won't do such things. Such things. If you sometimes look in the internet, I don't know how many of you are surfing, but when you surf, you will see some of the arguments and devotees back and forth they are arguing about. It makes you laugh because they are like in a solicitor in the court is arguing for one, another person is arguing against it. This is going on. Where is the, what is the use of all these things? It is not something. If you want to, if you have some firm faith in Shastram and if you have realized the Shastram, then you don't need to convince anybody. The people who are arguing back and forth, both of them lack this realization. Both of them are thinking that by my argument and by putting it in the internet, I won the argument. But that is no use at the end. You have presented something what sages have realized. You have not realized it yet. Somebody else, millions of years ago, have realized something and he has put in the Shastra. You have taken that and you have put it in the internet. Thinking as though you have realized, you have not realized it. Sages realized millions of years ago. The person who is arguing against it, he is also doing the same thing. Something he brings out another verse from another Puranam and he puts forward saying that this says like, so this is correct, not yours, he says. So this is going on in this world. In the name of Shastram, all this is happening. In the name of Shastram, all this. I'll give you another example. In the Bhagavad Gita it says, there is one word, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamegam Sharanam Vraja. Krishna says, isn't it? At the end of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamegam Sharanam Vraja. Then there is another verse. So somebody read Bhagavad Gita, whole thing he read well. And he understood one thing. Sarvadharman Parityajya. That's the first thing. I don't need any more dharma anymore. Krishna says, throw away all your so-called dharma. He is ready for that. Then, in another verse, Krishna says to Arjuna, yathe ichasi tatha kuru, do what you like. He says. So this person, what did he do? He took this one line from this verse, and that line from that verse. So he says, he created a new verse, half of this verse and half of that verse. And he says, Sarvadharman Parityajya Yadechasi Tatha Kuru. He came up with the answer. He says, I am following Krishna. Krishna has said like this, Sarvadharman Parityajya, I am doing that. Yadechasi Tatha Kuru. Also he is saying that. He told Arjuna at the end, isn't it? I have spoken to you everything now. And he says, Yadechasi Tatha Kuru. Do what you like now. So I am doing that. He has found an answer in the Bhagavad Gita for his problem also. So, like, this is Stuladhi. This is called Stuladhi. that means not able to understand the essence of the Shastram properly, that you will study this. I have to say this very straightforward. I have been asked to present some important verses from Bhagavatam, from this canto. It doesn't work like that. There is no such thing as important verse. Every single verse in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is important. If you start picking verses from Bhagavad Gita, you will end up with this kind of situation. Sthuladhi will come up. So, in order to avoid that, it is better to study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam completely and in depth, as much as one can, and understand the message clearly in our own head. Then you don't need all this. For preaching purposes, whatever it has developed this style of picking some important verses. This verse says like this, so it should be, that's the conclusion. That is not the conclusion. The conclusion is, unless you take from Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, to the, at the last minute, where Sri Bhagavan, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, or the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, that Yatra Yogeshiro Krishna, Yatra Bharata, you have to study from beginning to end, then you will understand what Krishna is saying. Otherwise, if you start pulling out verses from here and there, and start thinking this is the conclusion, but it will only lead into argument. You won't get anywhere. Because you can quote one verse, somebody else can quote another verse from somewhere else. This is the problem with Shastra. Shastram is like that. In Bhagavatam also, you can pick one verse from one chapter and there will be another verse which will be spoken in a different way and you can quote that verse also. Like this, this argument will never come to an end. Therefore, we must not do that. We should rather study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam seriously from beginning to end, and from there a culture has to develop in a person's heart. And when that culture begins to develop inside, automatically you won't look for quotations, rather you look for the essence. You look for the essence. The essence is more important. How does one understand the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam? Conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam is three things, Bhakti, Jnanam and Vairagyam. These are the three things what comes out from Srimad Bhagavatam prominently. In order to bring that, all the other stories have been spoken. The life of so many great devotees and all Krishna's pastimes, and the process of creation, and the Ekadasha Skandam. All this was spoken in order to develop these three things, Bhakti, Jnanam and Vairagyam. That's the goal. But how does that happen? That is what is discussed in different processes, in different stages. And the importance of chanting the holy names of Krishna. To stress that, through that process of chanting the holy name, how one can realize the self, and how one can understand our relationship with Krishna. All this is the subtle answers. So, but if you, when you start picking and choosing verses from this and that, but what will happen is that you may end up with wrong conclusions also. You may end up with wrong conclusions also. Everything has a background behind it. Under what context? Who has spoken? To whom it was spoken? These things are more important. We ignore all that. We don't ignore who spoke or to whom it was spoken, what context it was spoken. We will just take what he spoke and we'll say, this is it, the answer. And then we'll be in trouble. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, this is why Sthuladhi, Sthuladhiyaha. And this Maharshi is saying, a king is saying to, we are like that, he says. He admits that openly, so that there's no problem. That you don't have to think that, he's not saying that, oh, I understand everything what you have said, now you carry on from there. No, he says, I am a sthuladhi. He says, I am a sthuladhiyaha maharsham idam uchyadam. So, sthuladhi is a very high qualification for all of us. That is what is keeping us to in front of Srimad Bhagavatam still, to keep listening to Bhagavatam. If we have the sushmadhi, then you don't need Bhagavatam. If you have that sushmadhi, that means if you can see through things clearly as Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, then you don't need Srimad Bhagavatam. You are already there. But this gross nature or sthuladhi has to go and sushmadhi has to come in. To do that, these various ways of presenting things in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the king says, Adhaidamaishwari mayam dustaram agradalmabhi tarandyanjasthuladhiyo maharsham idamuchyadam. That king asked, how shall I cross over maya with easy way? And then certainly he says,
one who has no control on his senses and who are engaged in sense gratification, and one who has identified with the body and who spends their life in that way, in this world, how can he cross over Maya? And that is what the king has requested. And in answer to that, the person who is replying that is Prabuddha. Prabuddha answers that with many, many verses. And in this chapter, we have got another three more. Prabuddha, Pipalayanan and Avirhotra. Three sages will answer three different questions, which we will discuss next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.